Melbourne's number one hit music station, 101.9 The Fox. For breakfast, it's Fifi, Feb and Byron. The lines are open, and this is going to be an important one. 13 10 60 is our number, Fif.
When you think about how much our lives have changed in the past month, I mean, it's unrecognisable to where we were a month ago. And the truth is, the coronavirus or COVID-19, it was something that we heard in the news a little bit in January, but now we've all got so many questions and it's hard to find the answers and it's hard to decipher what's real news and what's fake news. So we've decided we're going to go to a specialist in this. Now, not only is he a specialist, Dr. Norman Swan, he's also presenting one of the most listened to podcasts in Australia right now, CoronaCast podcast. And he's joining us on the line. Are you there, Dr. Swan?
I am. Please call me Norman.
Oh, Norman, I'd love to. Thank you. Now, Norman, we've got so many questions. In fact, we're going to open the phone lines 13 10 60. So anyone who wants to know anything, please call now. Norman, can I start by asking you about, I'm self-isolating at the moment, and I'm having a few things delivered because I'm not wanting to leave the house. And there's a bit of confusion over how you can catch the virus from things that have been delivered, whether it's boxes, fruit and vegetables. Can food transfer it? What can you tell us about that?
So the good news is that the virus doesn't last very long on cardboard. So there's not been a lot of testing done of this. So they've done testing of how long the virus lasts on plastic, steel, copper, and I don't know why they study copper, but anyway, and cardboard. And cardboard's like, you know, really a proxy for soft fabrics and things like that. They know a lot more about SARS. Anyway, in brief, the recent study on this with SARS-CoV-2, which is the COVID-19 virus, was that the virus can last up to 3 days on plastic and steel. It declines quite a lot, but you can still detect it after 3 days. But on cardboard, it's much shorter, more like 1 day. And after 1 day, there's not a lot left there. And what they know from SARS epidemic maybe 15 years ago or so, that in fact soft fabrics, the virus doesn't last there, last very long at all. So, you know, when people are saying to me, you know, what if I send a comfort package to my Nana and Pop, you know, is it going to do them more harm good? No, it's going to do them more good than harm. And you know, it just, the prudent thing is just to wash your hands after you've opened the package. The likelihood that you are going to pick this up over something soft surface is quite low. But you just be prudent and don't touch your face until you've unpacked it, put away the packaging, and then wash your hands in soap and water.
Great
advice.
G'day,
Doc. Oh, Norman. My question's more about the message to people that are still going out, because we look at the cases around Australia. You look up the top end, there's only 16 cases. It's really warm up there. We're coming into our winter down here now, and it's going to be really cold. So apparently the virus spreads a lot more when it's colder. How important is it for people to stop going out, stop hanging around parks, stop going for runs when you don't need to, and congregating in places that you just don't need to go out for?
Two things in what you said there. One is the belief that it's going to get worse in winter. They don't know yet whether this is like influenza or other viruses, that it's seasonal and the ambient temperature makes a difference. That would be quite good news in some ways, because it would mean it would die off in the northern summer and die off here when it comes to the southern summer, and bad news in winter. But we don't know that that's the case yet, and there's no real sign of that. You know, as you can see from America, I mean, as America warms up, it's actually getting worse. So it doesn't look like a seasonal virus. Second thing is about going out. So you just gotta get this into perspective. What we're asking people to do, it's a really difficult thing, and it's not been asked of people for more than 100 years. But for hundreds of years before that, it was very common. When the plague passed through a village, people knew not to go out. There were rules that you weren't allowed to go out and not mix, and it was just much more accepted. We're not used to it. And we're asking people to change their personal behavior to protect everybody else. And it's a really difficult thing to get your head around, is that people are right. You know, the individual risk is low. You know, of 100 people who get this, 85 will be fine. They might get a little bit sick. 15 or 20 will end up in hospital. 5 will end up in a ventilator in intensive care, and some of those will die. And some of those will be young people, by the way. There'll be 18-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and there's no, by the way, and there's no predicting risk, predictive risk factors for younger people. So older people, if you've got heart disease and diabetes and stuff, they're more at risk of dying. But if you're younger, there's no predictor. The reason you don't go out is that if you want to get back to your job, if you want to protect your parents and your grandparents, if you want the economy to get back to normal so that you can get back to a normal life, you've actually got to do it tough for the next 4 or 6 weeks so that we can really get this under control. And hopefully at that point, we can slowly get back to normal. But we're asking for major change of behavior. Otherwise, our economy and jobs will be wrecked.
I know. Now, Norma, we're going to go to our calls in a second, but just quickly, something you did touch on yesterday that I was listening to, you talked about joggers, because we're being encouraged to go out and exercise, but we should be really mindful of joggers, shouldn't we?
Well, yeah, that was a question I was asked. Do joggers, are they more infectious because they're, you know, they're puffing and panting? And actually, in theory, somebody who's exercising, sweat, I'm not sure there's any evidence that it comes out in sweat, but certainly if you're, you know, the disgusting stuff that joggers and exercisers do, they probably are pushing out more droplets because they're breathing fast. So, you know, when I'm out jogging myself, I avoid other people and I make sure they avoid me.
So give them a wide berth.
Yeah, very wide berth.
When I jog to the fridge to get a beer, I avoid.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Swan, I don't know if you've got a few more minutes to hang around. We've got a traffic report we want to take. We've got lots of questions. Have you got a little bit of time?
Pleasure.
Okay, great stuff. So, of course, he does have this CoronaCast podcast, abc.net.au/CoronaCast. Lots of calls. We'll take a quick traffic report and come back to those calls. Dr. Norman Swan on the Fox.